Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Kings with the victory, sending Minnesota fans home in tears. They're crying. Families broken up. Oh. Thanksgiving is ruined. They go into the frigid cold, and their team's colder than it's ever been. They've lost four in a row. Wow. What a time to celebrate the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Deuce Mason.
And I'm Morgan Reagan. Hello, everybody.
I needed that. I needed that, Morgan. We all did.
I am still, like, I have had this weird wave of emotions since that third quarter. Like, that third quarter took me out. Like, where I was in a very bad place where I've been pretty good. Like, I'm like, you know, I let the Kings really dictate a lot of my emotions. But, like, I couldn't get out of the dark place I was in, and it was scary. And even when they came back in the fourth, I didn't think I was believing. I was like, well, there's still time left. Well, there's still time left. Oh, my God, we're about to interview Malik Monk. Oh, my God, that means the Kings won. Oh, my God, we're lighting the beam.
It was insane.
Insane.
Yeah, it was, in my opinion, the best and most important win of this Kings season. They have not had impressive victories. And don't get it twisted. There are some things that we didn't like tonight. As a wise person once said, Deuce Mason, don't accept in victory what you would not accept in defeat. We don't ignore the third quarter, but we celebrate that fourth. We celebrate the fact that the Kings shorthanded tonight. No DeMar DeRozan. Trey Lyles is out. The new man, Boss Man 99, Jay Crowder, stepping up and in to the starting lineup. He is a dog, by the way. I know OKC thinks they started that, but Deuce Mason was on that with the original Beam team. We were barking first.
Yeah, but we are not on the team, so, like, who gives a shit? You know, we're not NBA players.
Hey, look, man, in Sacramento, we all feel like we're on the team. We're a part of the team.
We're just podcasters barking like dogs on our podcast. We started it.
If you have not done it yet, the biggest thing you could do to help us grow is hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help us continue to build this thing out. And make sure to comment throughout the show and after the show in the comments below. But, yeah, I mean, this is... this was big time shit, Morgan. This was impressive. How refreshing was it to see Malik Monk back and comfortable? How refreshing was it to see De'Aaron Fox step up in a major way? Isaac Jones!
Let's start the pod.
Let's start it!
It's going to be Turkey Day tomorrow, and it's going to be a drive back.
I get it.
But we're going to like celebrate this because we have to.
Say hi to Karen.
Hi, Karen.
What's up, Boosty and MC and Magic Man Scout? I just imagine Joe's with his family right now. Hey, kids, gather around. Everybody, come to the living room. Do some OR on. Yeah. We got to talk about the Kings clapping that ass. You got a lesson to learn.
All right, kids.
Yes, shout out to Adam. Shout out to Real Ramirez. Bad news, Sour Grapes even happy. Oh, what's up, Jay, Scotty, Obrin? Thank you so much, Fred, for being here. You guys are the best. So we're doing the show tonight from NBC in San Francisco. So that's why it looks a little different, just so you know.
One other thing, I saw someone put on Blue Sky that you are now going to have to always wear no dress socks.
Yeah, dude, what a mess I am today. One, no dress socks. I forgot my dress socks, okay? So, look, I mean, I'm just... Move the monitor down.
No, just stretch your foot up.
I can't, dude.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. And then I notice I have a hole.
Show it.
I have a hole in my pants that was, like, this big. When Keegan Murray went hard to the back... Was it Keegan or was it a Monk play?
I don't know.
When Keegan jammed, I popped off of my chair. And, look at this. This is my pants. I was wearing these on TV today. My boss was like, hey, you're going to have to cover that up. I'm like, hey, I mean, show it off a little bit, man. It's a family show. Hey, kids got to learn
right,
what it means to work out and have those cakes.
That's not
be what, nice and
but
thick.
Again, that's not
Daddy
what it
Deuce is.
Is
getting thick.
It's a
in the gym.
Cheap suit and not taking care of yourself is what it really is. But
not taking care of myself.
Yeah, like or taking care of your clothes, being aggressive with it. You're the only human that has ripped like 7 pairs of pants.
Baby got back, baby.
Okay.
Baby.
But anyway, my whole point to bring that up, someone said, you got it now that the Kings won, you can't wear dress socks anymore.
Someone else was saying on social media that my hair looks fluffy tonight. I think I'm just overdue for a haircut.
So again, you have not once acknowledged the whole thing. I've said it twice now, so I'll say it one more time. Someone said that you should not wear dress socks now that the Kings won.
I mean, I'm gonna wear dress socks. Like that's, I don't believe in this shit. That's why it just any superstitions.
That's why he never even took in what I said. It literally just went in one ear, and he's like, "Yeah." And someone said my hair looked fluffy.
Everyone cut holes in your pants and wear no socks with your dress shoes. The Kings won't win again, or will win or lose again. It's what am I saying?
Yes.
All right, let's start the podcast. Remember, Morgan, when we're on the road, no theme song. I could probably change that at some point, but you're going to have to perform it, and don't half-ass it on Thanksgiving Eve with families around the world watching this after an important Kings win in
Minnesota. Harmonize with me. Harmonize. No, you're good.
My voice is gone. All right, do some old podcast. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Hit my music!
Deuce and Mo.
Deuce and Mo,
Deuce and Mo,
the podcast that you know. I don't even think those are the lyrics. I think I messed them up. Anyway, we should know the lyrics by now. Only been playing that for 7 years. Hey, welcome to the Deuce and Mo podcast, a Thanksgiving Eve special. And what a special win it was for the Sacramento Kings on the road. No DeMar DeRozan, no Trey Lyles, a new guy, Jay Crowder, not only playing tonight, Mike Brown throws him in the starting lineup. The Kings have a great first half. It was clicking. They scored 38 points in the second quarter. They're up a dozen. Life is good. And then the third quarter comes. And we all know those evil third quarters or bad quarters. We've seen a lot of them in Sacramento this year. Sacramento scored 12 points in the third quarter. They go up a dozen to down a dozen with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Julius Randle's talking smack to Boss Man 99, a.k.a. Jay Crowder. But the Kings kept coming. Malik Monk said, no, no, no. I'm hungry. Thanksgiving starts now. I'm ready to feast not only on turkey, but on some timber wolf.
Illegal.
I'm slaughtering them. And De'Aaron Fox took over. Those guys were awesome down the stretch. Kings close on a 29-6 run and hand Minnesota its fourth consecutive loss. They win at the Target Center 115-1-4 and head into the Thanksgiving holiday at 9-10. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. And for the first time in a long time, we're talking about a Kings win.
Oh, the beam is lit. Everyone is fed. People are feeling good. And I mean, I started talking about it when we first turned everything on. I went to a very dark place. I was thinking great things after that first half. And I was feeling confident in this team's ability. Even though it's a struggling Minnesota Timberwolves team, it doesn't matter. Like, they still have pieces. They have a roster that can see a lot of success if they do things right, if they come together, whatever they need to do. And it felt like they were inspired in that third quarter when they made adjustments. They started packing the paint, said, no, 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 no. We're going to let all of you beat us, but not that man, not De'Aaron Fox. And they wanted to stop him, and they wanted him slowing down. And it slowed down everyone because everyone started missing their shots. Things looked bad. But then when adversity hit, it's wild to think that this team against a good team found a way to get it done.
This is the most important and biggest win of the Kings early season. When you lose four in a row, you lose one of your key guys in DeRozan and Lyles, you're looking around going, what's happening? And then you're taking on a Minnesota team that coming in tonight had lost three straight. Yeah. And I think they're talented too, but I think they're disconnected. I've seen it a lot in some of their finishes this year. That third quarter, you could tell, gave them confidence. I thought the officials had some questionable calls in the third. That kind of shook Sacramento too. And then Sacramento started missing so many shots. And you're right. I thought the decision to just pack the paint and have like a ton of guys in there just was like, hey, somebody else beat us. And the Kings could not make a shot. That third quarter was disturbing to say the least. Sacramento was outscored 29-12. They were 5 of 18 shooting 27%, 0 for 7 from downtown in that quarter. And they had 5 turnovers that turned into 7 points. So it was quite possibly like the worst possible scenario. It's like, you just had a 38-point second quarter. You were rolling. And I felt like they got taken out of the game and guys just were bricking shots.
And, well, and that's the thing. You go 0 for 7 from 3-point land in that quarter while Minnesota started knocking down a couple more threes. And I even said to Deuce at one point, I was like, God, is it the 3-point defense? Like, what is it? It was their defense as a whole because it wasn't someone running out and contesting the shot. It felt like there was too many open looks for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they started knocking them down. And when those points start coming in and you're not making yours, it just doesn't feel good.
Sometimes bad offense leads to bad defense. That's the other thing in transition, and that was really disappointing. And Minnesota hit 5 of 10 from 3. They end up going up a dozen in the fourth quarter. And yeah, it was looking really grim for the game to turn like it did. I was, during this run, I started looking back at the Kings games this year, and I'm going, wow. Third quarter tonight, they'd scored 12 points. A fourth quarter against Brooklyn the other night, they had 15. They had that 12-point first quarter against the Clippers. They had a fourth quarter against Atlanta where they scored 15 points and a loss. They had a third quarter against San Antonio where they scored 16 points. And then against LA earlier this year, a 17-point second quarter. So 6 games this year with 17 points or fewer. And that's obviously a disturbing trend that they're going to have to figure out. And, you know, you have to learn from tonight. Like I said earlier, I think in the pre-show or maybe a few minutes ago, you don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. And you got to look at that third quarter tape and say, we got to figure it out. But the Kings just chipped away. And Minnesota's a fragile team right now. And the Kings kept coming. There's so much to talk about this game, but having Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox play at the level they did in the fourth quarter alone.
Let's talk about that.
Malik Monk in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
11 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox in the quarter, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Those guys were spectacular tonight. The Sacramento Kings dominated the glass. Yes, Sabonis is going to get his, but when you got Monk finishing with 9 rebounds tonight and Fox with 8 rebounds tonight, they were everywhere. And that was crucial, I think, in this game.
Yeah, you talk about even those rebounds. I mean, it was turning it on, turning the effort level on, even though I never have to question their effort throughout this entire year, even in some of these bad losses. It's more like they turned it on to a level of, we don't want to leave this arena having Minnesota outplay us, out physical, whatever. You know, because there was times where it felt like the officials were going to take the Kings out of their game for being physical. And then the T-Wolves could be as physical as they wanted, and those calls weren't going. Again, control what you can control. And that's what De'Aaron and Malik Monk started doing. They go, okay, we're not going to get these calls. These things aren't going to happen for us, but let's just keep crashing the boards. Let's just keep getting to our spots, keep making our buckets. That confidence never left them, never wavered there in that fourth quarter. Malik Monk with some big out beyond the arc buckets. Dude, as well.
3 of 5 from downtown. He finished with 27 points.
Yeah.
He had 9 assists and 8 rebounds tonight. He did on 11 of 16 shooting. De'Aaron had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals on 10 of 22 shooting, 3 of 8 from downtown. So those guys were just spectacular down the stretch. I think De'Aaron is just playing at such an elite level right now, and they threw everything at him. You know, they were like, dude scored 60 on us last game. He torched us in the second quarter. We're going to respond in the third, and Minnesota, the response was appropriate because Sacramento has not proven to knock down outside shots. But what I think the difference in this game was the start. They were relentless in the paint. I mean, think about Sabonis missing some shots early, but kept going at Gobert. Fox getting into the paint. Keon Ellis getting into the paint. Malik Monk. Sacramento had 42 points in the paint at the half. They end up finishing with 64 points in the paint. Mm-hmm. You love that number. Second chance opportunities are everything. Sacramento took 20 more shots tonight than Minnesota. Sacramento took 94 shots. Minnesota took 74. The Kings had 18 second chance points in this game. They out-rebounded them 47-33. So on a night where you only shoot 32% from three, 12-37, you do the other things well enough to win this game and then make huge, massive threes late.
And you talk about doing all the little things in and obviously the amount of attempts that they took over the Minnesota Timberwolves, even looking at the fast break points with 18, you know, like
it's a great number. They had 12 at the half.
And see, and so, you know, they were pushing the ball in transition. And I mean, there was times in transition, you'd even see it turn into the two man game where it'd just be a give and go quickly. It was quick decisions. It was being tough. It was being relentless. And the style of basketball that was being played throughout this game mostly, and I'll even say, and I just, what I love about this game is, it is a game of runs, but when they lost, it's how they lost the lead, right? And it's all, and we'll get into that.
Morgan, and I know basketball is a game of runs. It is. Basketball should be a game of a 10-2 run, not getting outscored. What was it in the third quarter? In the third quarter, I said, yeah, they were scored 29-12. You know, can't get outscored by 17 in a quarter.
Yeah, especially when it feels like you have the momentum in your hands. You have them where you want them. And so I know it's, like I said, a game of runs, but now we'll go to that run specifically and just how that adversity hit and they kept just fighting through. Malik Monk said it to us after the game that he knew even when that happened, like, we still got it. We still knew that we were fine, that we were going to come back and all these different things. And when he tells me that, I don't think he's just saying that. Like, he believes that, and he knew he was going to put everyone on his shoulders and say, yeah, let's effing go if he had to do that. And that's what he did.
And I think the other thing, too, in that third quarter, what really hurt them was, you know, Sabonis picking up his fourth and fifth fouls. Yeah. And
that was huge. Deflating.
You know, it was when he picked up his fourth, I was surprised Mike kept him in because it was still, you know, early enough in the quarter where I'm like, you probably don't want to risk it. And then Sabonis, you can. They called a foul. You can be like, oh, was that really a foul? It's like, you know what, though? That's just not, when you have four fouls, you can't take chances like that. And he took a chance, and he had to sit on the bench. And it really messed with Sacramento. I mean, Mike Brown was at that point. I was stunned at some of the lineups he was throwing out there, even in that fourth quarter. I mean, all of a sudden, Jordan McLaughlin's in. All of a sudden, Doug McDermott's in. He's, you know, we didn't really see Isaac Jones a lot down the stretch. But then, you know, Alex Len is in. You're like, oh, my God, there's all this stuff happening. They found a way for Sabonis to get back on the floor in the fourth quarter and stay there. He made a big three.
Dude,
he had some big buckets, too, for Sacramento in the fourth.
Big buckets and playing under pressure, like Deuce just said, with those five fouls. And being able to be like, no, guys, I'm going to stay on the floor for you. Like, sure, I gave you this scare in the third quarter, had some ticky-tacks and did all these other things. But in this fourth quarter, I'm going to stay out here for you. He did that. He made some big plays, like you said. Did he have any turnovers in that fourth quarter?
Sabonis on the night finished with, well, this is a good number. Okay. He finished with three turnovers.
Those all happened in the first quarter then.
He got his shit together.
Let's go!
Turnovers were still an issue. They were a little sloppy early, but they ended up with 17 turnovers in this game. And the quarters where they weren't very good, that was part of the problem, too, is they were throwing the ball away. So that comeback was spectacular. In the fourth quarter, they end up outscoring Minnesota 34-18. So they had some monster quarters. They scored 31 in the first, 38 in the second, 12 in the third, and 34 in the fourth. So I think Minnesota has some major problems defensively right now, especially with Randle.
Yeah.
Like the Kings showed the ability, like, hey, this team does not have rim protection. Randle does not stay engaged defensively. We know this team doesn't like to run. We're going to push them. And I also thought, like, they got guys into foul trouble. You know, McDaniels, to me, I'm going to be honest, man, and this sounds like I'm hating, but this guy got paid a good contract by Minnesota.
Yeah.
He is a guy that's expected to give them a lot more, especially, like, offensively this year. And then defense, and he hasn't done that. Then defensively. In general this year, he's not shot it well at all. And then defensively, he's like an all-defensive guy, and I've always thought, no, dude, he's overrated because he fouls too much. And you can't be picking up quick fouls. He ends up only playing 24 minutes for them. And, you know, that's the one. They have no answer for De'Aaron. The only option was to pack the paint. And if Sacramento could have knocked down some more threes, who knows what it looks like.
What's cool to see is that, obviously, last year McDaniels did pose as a threat defensively for De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron's better than ever.
And same, so did a lot of length. And my point to this is De'Aaron took that and said, well, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm going to get better. I'm going to make sure that that doesn't affect me, not just McDaniels. It's not against him, but it's around the league. How can I make sure that length doesn't affect me, people with that type of on-ball defense? And you're seeing it this season against the T-Wolves, even in some of these losses, what De'Aaron has been able to do, getting to his spot, not allowing McDaniels or any other long arms or big bodies get in his way and even screw with him just a little bit. It's incredible. The work he has put in to take this leap in his game at this point of his career is just incredible.
Yeah, I've been so impressed with his finishing ability, his patience.
Oh,
you know, when people think about De'Aaron Fox, they think so much about his speed and his burst and, oh, go in transition, get in the paint. But now, like, he is at times deliberate. You know, like, hey, I'm slowing it down, patience with the pump fake. And I think so many people are expecting him to be fast. So when he slows you down, he gets some great looks out of it.
Being able to go the speed that he goes and slow it down at this, and then be able to change your speeds at that level, how are you supposed to manage that and know as a defender in his ability to slow down his body and stay under control, stay square to the basket? Doesn't matter if it's at the rim, in the mid-range, wherever it is on the floor, it's just been beautiful.
The next guy we should talk about is Jay Crowder, the newest member of the Sacramento Kings. We found out the news yesterday that the Kings signed him. You know, Lyles goes down. The Kings need some size, strength, wing depth. Jay Crowder, someone they tried out during the offseason.
Yeah.
He's been chilling. And I got something in my throat.
I was going to say, like, did you drink water? What the?
I don't know what happened.
I'm shocked that you would try to talk through it.
I thought it would go away. Shut up, clown. Don't start with me. I've got my inner Jay Crowder.
Dude, Jay Crowder would never do that to a teammate. You just said shut up and clown all in like the span of 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So now you have to guess.
You
what,
were Julius Randle. I was Jay Crowder.
Bullshit. We're on the same team, stupid.
Sometimes I don't know if we are.
We are. So now a teammate takes accountability.
No. You know what a teammate would do if, like, oh, hey, dude, are you okay? Like, you would just have to clown me when I'm clearly losing my voice.
I did.
Yeah.
And so I shut your mouth, clown.
Anyway, let's go back to Jay Crowder. So Jay Crowder signs yesterday, right? After Trey Lyles, we find out he's going to be out 3 to 4. Well, reevaluating 3 to 4 weeks with the calf strain. And my instant reaction to that was, okay, we'll see. I like Jay Crowder 4 or 5 years ago. I loved his toughness. He's a dog, all that. But I'm like, can he still play? And I think what the Kings need out of Jay Crowder is someone that's going to be tough, play some defense, and knock down an open shot. When we found out tonight that not only was he playing,
that he was starting, yep,
I was stunned. I'm like, I don't know about this one, Mike Brown. Because this guy has not played in a game this year. He hasn't played with your team. He hasn't had a practice.
He hasn't, like you just said, hasn't played in the league this year. And then you're just, hey, we're just going to start strong. You're just going to be in the starting lineup tonight. How quickly they make a jersey and everything is just always incredible to me. But Jay Crowder in that starting lineup. And, you know, you keep going back to, and I think it's obviously fair when we analyze these things and we talk about him being 34 years old, only played in 50 games last year. Where was he on his couch? Was he putting in work? What was he doing? I'm sure he was putting in work. But like, again, NBA level workouts, it's just so different.
Game shape is different.
That's what I meant. Game shape is so different. So what you did know that Jay Crowder was going to provide was some sort of spark or energy. I wasn't expecting it on night one for him to be shit-talking Julius Randle, clapping in his face at the end, hitting a three.
Blowing a kiss to the crowd.
Oh, my God. I was like, this is what I've been searching for. I don't give a shit how old you are. This is what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm beyond impressed that he was able to play 27 minutes tonight. The guy didn't, when we say they have a practice, like they had a shoot around this morning, but like there's only so much like you can learn, right? He's just getting there. There's only so much of the offense and the sets you can learn and the defensive strategy. But, you know, he's a veteran. He's been around a long time, been on a lot of teams. So he understands basketball. And there's some things he's going to learn. I think they mentioned on the broadcast at one point, he set a weird screen for Fox or was in the wrong spot. Things that you just, he'll learn from.
Yeah.
But the intangibles he brings is so important. And it's one thing to like have a guy that's like shit talking if he can't play, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, if he's able to contribute on a consistent basis, knock down some open shots, you know, battle guys a little bit, that's going to be great. There'll be going to be some defensive matchups that aren't good for him. He's not going to be able to defend guys a ton on the perimeter, athletic guys, but he's so strong. He's a smart player. He's got active hands too. So I like that. And then what you just said, that. Morgan, the Kings have lacked a dog.
Yeah. So,
you know, and the things I bring up to you, there have been examples of this in the past. And the one last year in Houston early in the season when Duarte got ripped down by Dylan Brooks. Not only did Duarte not do anything, but none of his teammates came over and did anything.
That was
and
a big moment.
I was irritated by it. It's like you got punked. And there have been times the Kings have gotten punked. And you're like, are you just going to take it? If someone fouls you hard, are you going to take – like sometimes you need to like get a technical, push a guy. You don't take shit. And Crowder doesn't take that. And I love it. He was jawing at the refs a couple of times. He was jawing at Julius Randle. He's not afraid to mix it up. And having that type of energy from a team that at times is just too nice is good to see.
And it's like you said, like expectations of what you're going to get out of him on the basketball floor. Like, I'm not saying have low expectations, but
be realistic about it. Yeah.
That's it. You have to be rational about what he's going to contribute at this point of his career, especially being a free agent, you know, other teams, what he's lacking or whatever, especially on the defensive end, being able to run out and defend some of the guys along the perimeter. But right now it's the exact tweak that we need to see for the Sacramento Kings, because we weren't going to see them blow it all up or, you know, a big trade all of a sudden happen in the NBA. So the tweaks that we keep promoting and putting out there, Deuce, like this is your first tweak. This is a tweak you get.
Yeah. And you can hope, you hope that he can keep this up, because I liked what the energy he brought, and you need guys like that. You need guys like that in the locker room to inspire a little bit. Loved what I saw from Jay Crowder tonight. Yeah. So fun. So fun. I mean, I've always been a Jay Crowder fan, but, you know, my question is still like, how much does he have left to give, you know, because, you know, he's had
keep
some
saying that I get that. But like we saw something positive, and that's why it's like tamper expectations. And then like,
yeah, I'm just saying I'm not downplaying what he did tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. And I think there's something to be said. You know, you think about how the Phoenix situation ended with him. He was not happy about what his role was going to be. He ends up like being away from the team. They trade him to Milwaukee and didn't really have the impact that maybe he thought he would. Now he's been chilling on the couch. We keep saying chill on the couch, chilling out, whatever he's doing. He's not playing in the NBA, right? So maybe there's also some extra motivation. Like this is it. Mm-hmm. This is my final chance. And I'm going to a team that needs what I possess.
The role that I play.
I'm ready to buy into this role. And I know if I can come in and knock down threes, absolutely, if I can get some big rebounds, get some stops, be that emotional lift, I have a spot on a team that has potential to be good in the West. So I'm eager to see how it unfolds.
Another body that we saw out there tonight, Isaac Jones, doing a great job off the bench early on. He
love
finished
him,
with 8 points. He was 4-7 from the field. But I thought it was the way that he was really going at Gobert, the way that he was scoring in the paint. He didn't give a shit who was in front of him. He was going to score that basketball. He was going to remain aggressive. And he looked controlled. His big body... I was excited to see a Kings player with a big body out there and putting in work.
Again, another guy that brings you something different.
Mm-hmm.
Let Jay Crowder get into basketball shape. Let Isaac Jones get experience he needs on the NBA floor. There's going to be times where Isaac Jones looks like a rookie out there. It's breaking news. He's a rookie. We mentioned him on the podcast a couple episodes ago, and I'm like, you know, you got to find time for this guy. I just think he gives you something you lack. 6'9", 7'3", wingspan. Seeing him play in the G League, the confidence level with his shot is going up. He's got to knock some down in the NBA long term, whatever, but it's the other stuff. He's got great feel for the game. You just mentioned him attacking Gobert and finishing over him.
The feel.
Great feel.
Yes.
I like seeing him put the ball on the floor, attack, being in that dunker spot. And he's got legit size, which
that's
I think
it.
Is huge. And then defensively, he is so long, he can close out. Like with the way the Kings play defense, on how they help sometimes, to see him go out and close out in a three-point shooter and actually impact the shot is a good thing. He also like There's a play where he helped on Anthony Edwards knock the ball away. Yeah. And Anthony had to take a tough shot.
His activity with his hands, like just understanding and just being aware. I'm so with you. And I think sometimes too, when you look at some of these players that are two-way or in the G League, and you know, people are like, that's where we're at, that's where we're going now. But at the same time, if you have the proper coaching staff and you have the proper system, you're going to be developing guys the right way. I mean, that is literally what happened with Keon Ellis and being able to just keep growing him and his game and his confidence. And with someone like Isaac Jones, I mean, he looked way more raw in the California Classic than he does even right now.
Because that's
the discipline.
All you hear about him is he is like the most coachable guy ever. Ugh, he's passionate.
I love
it. He wants to get better. And his journey is crazy. Like, Google Isaac Jones. He was out of high school not playing basketball. He wasn't playing basketball. He was working at like a warehouse. His buddy went to go try out for a junior college team. The coach like, you need to find someone who's tall to come try out then if you're going to try out. He brings Isaac, convinces him. Isaac was not in shape, obviously. Like, he wasn't even playing basketball, but he was heavy too.
Mm-hmm.
He kept getting better, put in the work, earns an opportunity to go to Washington State, had a really strong year with Washington State last year. Then he goes to the G League pre-draft camp. Plays well there. That earned an invite, him an invite to go to the draft combine. Then it leads to a two-way opportunity with the Sacramento Kings. And so it's just cool. Like, he didn't take any threes really at all in college. And now he's taking more. And, you know, he's had some moments in the G League where you're like, oh my God, did he just come off a DHO and have a step back three? Oh, he's hitting three big threes late in the fourth quarter in a close game in a G League game. Obviously not doing that at the NBA level, but he doesn't need to do that yet. What he needs to do is make sure he's able to play good, strong defense, protect the rim, be there and help, contest shots, be vertical. He's very good with verticalities. And then finish. When you get the ball, go and jam on somebody's head. And I'm really excited about Isaac Jones's potential to be a contributor this year.
I think someone in the chat said Isaac Jones is this season's Keon. It's a feel-good story. And it's a feel-good story with someone making an impact, especially when, and we can get to some of the darker stuff, when you see this team going through some injuries, for example, Trey Lyles, like the calf injury again and being reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. The poor guy is going to lose himself within the rotation if some of these other guys like Isaac Jones are stepping up, are being that big body out there, are getting into the rotation and making that same type of impact. So I go to Trey Lyles because then I just go even deeper into the bench to someone like Kevin Herter tonight, who didn't look good. And Mike Brown did not like what Kevin Herter added. He only played 14 minutes.
Yeah, and he's in a major funk. And Kevin tonight was 1 of 6. He was 1 of 5 from downtown. He also had 3 turnovers in 14 minutes.
I feel so bad. Like, his ups and downs, like, I can't imagine what they're doing to him mentally, but I feel like he's taken a step with his mental game in this last year. But at the same time, when you can't do your job out there and Mike Brown has standards and expects one thing, he's going to go to other people.
Yeah, he's got to adjust better to the role off the bench. That's all there is to it. He wasn't playing well. He wasn't shooting the ball well as a starter. He had some moments this year where, like, oh, maybe he's turning around, just knock down some shots. He's not knocking down shots right now. I think now he is 3 for his last, do the math, 27 from 3. He's got to knock down shots. He can't be making mistakes. He's got to be engaged. The Kings threw some bad passes early. But, yeah, he's not adjusting well to his role off the bench, and he needs to. He needs to, because I think he can thrive. But at some point, Mike's going to have to go a different direction. You don't want to do that for a variety of reasons, right? Like, this guy should be able to help your team
because
he does some good things out there. But
absolutely,
if he's coming out there and we're getting the Kevin Herter that's not only missing shots but turning the ball over and not engaged defensively, that's a challenge. And then Mike Brown's searching for other guys, you know? I mean, he's going, Doug McDermott, all right, I'll play some J-Mac here. Just searching. And it's, so hopefully Kevin can get it going, because he needs to if this team's going to have some success. The bench has to.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Be better.
Yeah. I think when we talked about bench production tonight, even on the postgame show, it's like we're talking about Malik Monk. We obviously talked about Isaac Jones and what he added early in this game. And it really did set a tone and make an impact on, like, oh, yeah, we know what's in front of us and we can score on these guys. I also loved seeing Keon Ellis in that starting lineup. I thought him, he knocked down, what, 2 threes, I think,
tonight? 2 of 5 from downtown.
2 of 5 from downtown. You know, a few other ones where it just would have been so nice to stop the bleeding or whatever. But I still enjoyed seeing him being put into that starting lineup, down Debo, down Trey Lyles.
Yeah, he's got to stay in the starting lineup. I think he does too many good things defensively. He's to the point now where he's not passing up shots. He's taking shots, and he's got to take those. And tonight, like, they went with Malik Monk because they need his offense down the stretch, and that was the finishing crew. So I like what I'm seeing from Keon right now. So he had 8 points, 2 rebounds. He had 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. Jay Crowder had 8 points, 4 rebounds, a steal. And then Isaac Jones had 8 points, 5 rebounds, an assist.
Anything else that we're missing as a team?
Winning a game without DeMar is nice. And, you know, if I don't know how long DeMar is going to be out for, if he's going to be available Friday. But the biggest thing Sacramento has to do when he gets back is they have to have a better balance with their style of play. And I think part of it is, like, yes, pick your spots when DeMar's bringing the ball up the floor. Pick your spots when it's time to slow down and get DeMar a good look. But more times than not, the Kings offense is at its best when it's getting into the early offense fast, getting ball movement, setting screens, moving without the ball. You have to find better ways to integrate him so you're still playing to what I think fits everybody's style, and that's just playing fast. And I think he can. I think they've catered a lot of stuff toward him at times.
Sure,
and that's why I think it's been clunky. I don't think he's played poorly. The guy had 30 points, and I think he was key in keeping the Kings close to OKC for a stretch. But the playing fast and getting to the early offense, and he did it in their comeback against Phoenix too. You have to have better balance.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think, like, we saw a few games there before some of the back injuries where it felt like they found a flow with working with what DeMar does great, what De'Aaron does great, and then just finding that mix, that rhythm, making things work. And now I think you see just how dominant you can be with speed in this league. And when you do have one of the fastest players in the league and you have other players that understand how to play that fast with him, it's really important to just keep capitalizing on that style.
Your defensive player of the game tonight?
Defensive player of the... Oh, I get a defensive player of the game?
They picked one.
Oh, they picked one? I don't know. Who
they picked? De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. That's fair.
And De'Aaron Fox tonight, 3 deflections. I thought his defense was spectacular. I think his defense this year has been great. Keon Ellis, by the way, had 5 deflections in this game. Kings had 15 as a team. But De'Aaron's defensive intensity, dude, he's one of the best two-way guys in the league right now. I just don't know many players who can bring it offensively like he does and guard the way he does.
It's incredible.
He's been awesome this year. And he was big again tonight. Now, we talk so much about the offense, but the other point is, not only did you make a run, you scored 29 points down the stretch, but you held them to 6.
Yeah.
Some of it, they missed shots, but it was the defensive intensity, the communication, something I think Jay will help too. Jay Crowder, I think he communicates well defensively. That just massive for Sacramento.
Yeah, and I'm glad De'Aaron got it, because I'm with you. I just think his defense out there on ball every single night. The intensity that he brings is incredible.
Well, I'm getting an update from the chat saying that Crowder won it. And you're right. That is Jay Crowder. My bad.
Did you not even look?
You know, it was like a De'Aaron pose. And then once I zoomed in, that's what got me. So once I zoomed in.
I like see you like looking afar, so far away.
Jay Crowder gets the defensive player of the game crown. Well, Fox's defense was still awesome. Crowder battled the hell out of Randall. I think it was, that's the other, like, Jay Crowder is 6'6".
Yeah.
Strong
he
as
He plays
shit.
So much bigger than 6'6". That's so cute that they gave him the crown.
Dude.
I like it.
You weren't even on the team yesterday. We're in this bad spot. We can't win a game. You got to go out there and defend Julius Randle?
And what did Julius finish with tonight?
Julius Randle, I want to look at his overall. That's fourth quarter, though. Let's go to fourth quarter. Julius Randle in the fourth quarter, 6 points.
Okay.
On the game, let's see. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 turnovers.
How many threes?
He was 1 of 5 from downtown.
Yeah! That's what I like to hear.
3-point shooting, Minnesota knocked down 14, Sacramento knocked down 12.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cute, and congratulations to Jay Crowder then. I mean, we still have to get to our player of the game.
We do. We have a lot that we need to get to still. I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Morgan's in this, like, she wants to start Thanksgiving, and
no,
I get it.
I was literally making sure you were okay. I was like, are you, like, you start slowing down, and I was like, is everything okay? And then I saw you, like, seeing this game behind us, and I was like, and then you got the picture wrong. So then I'm like, deuce.
I don't want to ever hear you say I'm a bad teammate again. Morgan, this is what you did wrong. You did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. We got more of the podcast coming up. We should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Mother in Sacramento. Why should people go to Mother, Morgan?
If I may, people should go to Mother because it is some of the best food in Sacramento with some of the best people in Sacramento. I mentioned their collard greens, I guess, on some Thanksgiving video that they showed of us and some of our favorite sides. I had the collard greens last year for Thanksgiving. And I ate like literally 15 pounds of collard greens. And so I got them again this year. It's one of my favorite dishes. And I think they actually serve them all year long. So make sure to check out Mother.
Go to mothersacramento.com to check out the menu and check them out as soon as possible. We're also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. It pays to be a Kings fan and a Golden One member. Talk about some of the perks. If you're a Golden One member, you can join up. You can join for up to 50% off Kings home games through their ticket portal. Also, 15% off merch if you use your Golden One card.
And there's so many perks. Like Deuce is saying, not only you can get all those discounts, but you can also, I mean, when you're at a game, raise your Golden One Credit Union card up in the air. You can get better seats, or you can get on the floor and shoot some free throws for thousands of dollars. I mean, that's just by being a member. So make sure to go sign up today.
Yeah, go to goldenone.com. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Thinking, I need some new windows. Or maybe I need a new HVAC system. Well, Northwest Exteriors has it all. They have an awesome showroom, too, that you should check out. You can play with the windows. Oh, I want to try this one. I like how this one locks. Ooh, what about this one? And they're local. All the people that have been there forever. Check them out. Go to northwestexteriors.com because they are amazing, Morgan.
They're simply the best. Trust Northwest. Should I sing the song?
Sure.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
That's not very good without the headphones.
Who would be your simply the best player of the game chat in Morgan?
I know mine. So I already have mine. It'd be Malik Monk.
I think that's a good one. That's definitely mine. Our simply the best player of the game tonight is not DeMar DeRozan.
Hey!
It's Malik Monk! 27 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds on 11 of 16 shooting, 3 of 5 from downtown. Malik Monk are simply the best player of the game. How nice is it to have Malik Monk back for this Kings bench?
Well, it's not only so nice for the bench, it's just like how many times we've talked about that spark, that energy, and what he adds. He keeps this team alive when adversity hits, and not only with the spirit that he plays with and he brings, but also with what he adds with big buckets and doing all the other little things on the floor. I love the way that he played.
He was awesome. We also have some super chats that we have not gotten to yet. So let's get to some of these super chats real fast. Bringing them up here on my screen. Shout out to Jacob. He donates $5. Says, if Crowder can do what he did without any practice and being out of the league for a while, imagine what he starts learning plays we run. That's a good sign.
I love it. That's a great sign. Some good things.
Tiffany donates $5. Thank you. Ashir donates $5, saying donating towards a new pair of pants for Deuce. Oh. Sacramento appreciates your excitement, as do we.
Aww,
appreciate the love. And Sebastian, the Spurs fan, donates saying you guys look much happier today. Wonder why. Yeah, man, we've been hurting a little bit in Sacramento. It's not been fun seeing the struggles. And so to see Sacramento play for the most part a really fun game, to do it with some adversity. And they were taking on a team that was facing adversity. Minnesota has now lost 4 in a row, okay? They've also had a 3-game losing streak this year. Last season, during the regular season, Minnesota did not lose more than 2 games in a row the entire regular season.
That's wild.
So they're a little bit of a mess right now, you know? And a lot of people are talking about, I know Kings fans have been down about their team.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry. If you're a Minnesota fan right now, it must be eating you. Because you almost made the NBA Finals. You made it to the conference finals last year, had a great year. And the night before, like, media day or days before training camp, you make a really surprising trade to some where you trade Karl Anthony Towns to the Knicks for Randall DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo has not been good for them. He's missing a lot of shots early. There's been some people talking about he's not happy with his role there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Randall puts up numbers. I think it gets clunky offensively with him, and defensively, he's just never engaged, and the defensive metrics back that up. They've been a mess.
And it's shown in so many different ways, obviously, in some of these losses, but then also, Deuce, I mean, I showed you a highlight last week when it was Rudy Gobert in the key, posting up, waiting for the ball, Ant didn't get it to him, so he, like,
yeah,
just purposely got a 3-second call on the key just to make a point. And it's just like that shit right there. I can only imagine what's going on behind the scenes. And not to say that they can't get it together or anything, but at the same time, you can just feel that something's off.
Yeah, that was such a weird situation. And then even the game last night against Houston, they just fell apart late. And, you know, it's Randall just doing his thing and kind of ignoring Anthony Edwards. Ant was inefficient in this game tonight, too, for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He ends up in this game with 29 points, but he did on 9 of 24 shooting.
Whoa.
9 of 24 shooting for Ant.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about how efficient he's been against the Sacramento Kings, how he's been playing. Yeah, and so, you know, you see Ant still be able to drop 29, but I felt like the Kings were just doing a good job of still remaining tenacious, remaining aggressive, remaining physical, trying not to foul at times, even though it still got frustrating with officiating at different points. What?
Just you getting mad at the officials?
No, it was, you know, there was just a few points there where I'm like, I don't even give a shit if you call every single foul, both teams, whatever. The flow of the game's going to suck, whatever. But when it just feels like De'Aaron isn't getting the respect he deserves still, and like Ant gets any of those calls, or for example, when Rudy Gobert chopped down on Keon Ellis and they called an offensive foul on Keon Ellis, I'm just like, it was one of those moments, just don't call anything. Just don't call anything, because it's just such a weird thing to do. There's too many of those moments happening where I was getting frustrated. I just thought I thought Kings players did a great job of not allowing that to just frustrate them.
Yeah, you have to just find a way to play through it. And there were times tonight that you wondered if that was going to get to them. Yeah. And if that third quarter, were they just going to roll over and fold? And, you know, when you get down a dozen, the clock's a factor. I mean, we're watching the end of the game in the fourth quarter going, All right, well, here we go again. Like a game where you have another bad quarter and you lose and you don't shoot enough threes and you miss a ton. Like, this is going to be tough. And they found a way tonight. And they did it against a team that was also desperate trying to get a win. So yeah, that's why I say it's like the most impressive and most important win of the year. This team in Minnesota had been 5-2 at home. They're coming off a loss last night in overtime where they probably felt like they had multiple chances to win. And then, you know, they take control again. And then it all falls apart.
Yeah.
So I just, gutsy win tonight. And there's some things I like. You get you just have some new energy right now.
Yeah.
With Malik back and Jay Crowder. And it seems like the type of energy this team is going to need if they're going to try to turn this shit around.
Someone in the chat said, can we please give Mike Brown some love? I thought it was interesting because I know a lot of people, when it comes to coaches anywhere in sports, it's a lot of hate and, you know, love for good plays or good possessions or, you know, adjustments were made and that's what you wanted to see. Well, what I will say is that when adversity hit, adjustments were made for the Sacramento Kings. And whether that's someone being told to keep attacking the paint, I don't give a shit if they're packing it. You can still find yours. Like, someone's going to be in drop coverage or someone else is going to be too short, too small, and you're going to be able to finish on them. Like, keep going. Don't stop. And whatever it was that kept happening. And I know whoever said, can you give Mike Brown some love? I mean, sure. Like, you found a way to get a win. You started someone in Jay Crowder and you just trusted it. And
yeah,
it ended up working because you got the win.
It did. Yeah. And we didn't, you'd mentioned attacking. We talked about the points in the paint, dude. Keegan Murray, him attacking the rim with force, yeah, again, keep playing like that, man. Like, if you're going to play defense and you're going to play tough and you're going to fight through it, I can live with you working out this whole miss shot thing, and hopefully it can get back on track, and hopefully the Kings can get him help. Maybe Crowder helps him a little bit too, just taking some pressure off of him. I am so glad I'm seeing him be aggressive attacking the basket.
I'm with you. I think that confidence is so needed in every single player on this team, but especially when it does come to someone like Keegan Murray, when you know what he's doing on the defensive end, you want him to get rewarded on the offensive end. You want him to go at it, to get his, because he's going to be bigger than players. He's going to be able to get his in the paint. And when his shot does start falling again, I do believe it will. But when it does start falling again too, it's just all going to come together and feel good.
Some more super chats. Cameron donates $5. What is your prediction currently on the final record after 82 games? Be however hopeful or not. Love you guys. Cameron, I don't know, man. I mean, I said before the season, I think they could have hit 50 wins. I mean, I feel like I've adjusted that. You know, one win doesn't just solve all their issues. They're 9-10 after 20 games. I mean, I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, I want to believe that they are better than they played this year. But I think they still have some of the same issues. You know, the three-point shooting after almost 20 games is not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. And until that gets fixed, I think that's going to be an issue. I think the wing defense is still problematic. With that said, they still have the talent to be like good enough to make the playoffs. So I don't know about a win total.
Yeah. I don't make predictions.
Because you're a coward. That's what people say.
You're such a good teammate.
That's what people said.
Such a good teammate.
Christopher donates $10. Please title this pod, Fox Dominates the Wolves, in an aggressive, handsy, dominant, explosive ending. Okay. Oscar donates $2, okay, saying Mike Brown can still lead Sacramento to a 59-23 record.
I love that attitude. Someone else in the chat was saying, no fog tonight? Did I miss it? Was it earlier?
We can't bring the fog machine to San Francisco. We're doing this from the NBC studios in San Francisco because we were on Kings pre and post game tonight. And we're doing it again on Friday here. Kings and Blazers coming up next. Blazers lost tonight to Indiana. And, you know, I mean, Sacramento, as I get choked up. Man. Of course, Sacramento could lose to Portland. We know this, but like, be locked in, man. Like, don't have a bad quarter. Play competitive. They're a bad team.
Realistic, but like, you're so. What I love too is that you could see the same type of team that you saw tonight, and then it's like, yeah, you're getting shit done. You're doing what you need to do. But you're exactly right. It's been so up and down with these wins and losses against bad teams
yep.
that you just don't know which Kings team you're fully going to get.
And I would love for them, if you win on Friday, you're 10-10. And on the surface, you're like, oh my God, 10-10. That's not very good. But in my head, I'm like, that feels like a miracle at this point. Like, to be as poor a shooting team as they have been this year, with some of the issues we've seen this year and like bad quarters, with some of the injuries we've seen, I'm like, all right, you survived. You're at 10-10. You have to keep building on it, but like, I'll take that at this point. So, you know, they're not where they want to be yet, but you hope like tonight was like a step in the right direction. Like maybe they realize they got to play Isaac Jones more, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they realize Jay Crowder can be more impactful than maybe even some thought. So Fox has been the man. I don't know. I just, De'Aaron's
so
been
good.
Awesome.
So
this guy needs to be in the conversation. I think if the Kings start winning more, it'll be more in the conversation as one of the top guys in the league right now. Like we'll see if he can. I mean, he's top 10.
Deuce is going to look at every single defensive player of the game photo now for the rest of the season and just see De'Aaron Fox.
That's
in that
what
crowd.
I see. I see De'Aaron Fox every night because he could win it every night.
He could.
The deflections, the steals, the intensity, and then he's still bringing on the other
end.
I get it. His rebounding's better than ever. His confidence in his game, his ability to score at all three levels.
He's doing it all.
The guy's a stud. He's an absolute freaking stud, and that's why I've been stressing the importance of getting this together and capitalizing on this guy's prime. Like De'Aaron Fox wants to be on a winner. Put winners around him and let's go to work. This guy is in his prime. He's playing the best basketball overall in his career. Let's get it together. Let's go.
A few people I saw in the chat too asked something about why didn't you guys do the halftime report and the halftime segment that we usually do for
NBC
Sports California. Sometimes when there's so many different shows or sports going on, there's different studio rooms being used, and so they can't feed it back to the studio. Just all this technical stuff.
I mean, we get 90 seconds to talk at halftime anyway. Like, what is?
Well, someone else thought it was because of your pants being ripped.
Oh, no.
No, Deuce
is fine. You had a Sharks game, Warriors game, a Niners thing that was being taped here. The studios were, like, jammed, packed. Like, so it was just not happening. Is there anything we missed about tonight's game? Any sequence that jumped out to you? Any players? I just, you know me, I don't want to go in the holiday missing anything.
It's or what you'll make me do a podcast on the holiday.
Yep.
Yeah. We talked Domas. We talked about all the starters. We talked about some of the weird rotations at the, like when it was felt like, why are you putting in Doug or J-Mac? We talked about the Kings defense overall.
Fourth quarter numbers for Minnesota. We didn't really focus on Sacramento. Outscored them 34-18. Minnesota was 7 of 20 shooting.
Okay.
They were 2 of 10 from 3. Ant had 4 three-pointers in the first quarter. Did not have another one the rest of the game.
Wow. That's impressive. By the Kings defense, obviously.
I felt like
in.
Their defense against the 3 was better tonight. There were moments it wasn't great, but I felt like they were more aggressive running guys off the line.
The
Maybe I'm wrong, but it felt like they were much better.
But what's crazy is the moments that they weren't locked in, literally, Deuce, where it needed to be 100 billion % effort, was when you saw those open threes. And once one started, it kept raining for Minnesota, and it kept just taking the Kings out of it. And you just see how important it is, especially against, I know the T-Wolves are struggling. I'll still call them a good team. Against a good team in the league, you got to make sure that you are playing every single minute, every single quarter, where you're just like not having these screw ups. Like, you're going to have a turnover here and there. Domas had 3 in the first quarter when the Kings were playing well. Those type of things are going to happen, sure. But when it comes to like controlling what you can control with another team and what they're doing from beyond the arc and making sure that you have a hand in their face, you're not giving them the easiest looks. It's just so very important.
I was going to mention this. Minnesota now 8-10. On the season now.
Nice.
8-10.
Love to hear it.
Also, a donation said, did anyone else notice Royale is in the corner of the screen? I emoji. You guys rock. Oh, he is
oh
in there.
God.
Well, because we had the Royale curse going. Remember, I was talking about the Royale curse. The Kings haven't won. Apparently, they were 0-4. That was what Jake Gaden from CBS 13 put out. Well, they won tonight, so it's snap, but he's still watching. Evan in the chat, in all caps, love how they haven't mentioned Kevin at all. The media, the Kings sugarcoat Kevin Huerter. Stop sugarcoating Kevin's bad performances. 18.75%. Okay, Evan, it's Thanksgiving, so I'm going to be nice to
you.
But
we started with the Kevin Huerter stat of how many threes he's made in, what, 3 of 27 or some shit?
Yeah, so Evan, I'm going to suggest you hit rewind because maybe you need to listen. Okay, I know you don't like Kevin Huerter. I see you in the comments all the time after we post videos. Stop sugarcoating it. We just said Kevin Herter's got to figure it out. He has not been productive off the bench. I'll just repeat it. I'm going to do you a service right now. Happy Thanksgiving. Here, you have your side dish. Here's some side dish of information for you. Yeah, he is struggling big time. He was not good tonight. He can't be out there missing shots, not playing defense, having 3 turnovers. We mentioned that in his 14 minutes of action. So before you hop on in the chat room and get your little fingers typing away, listen, and I'm not sugar coding that, stop being a casual, stop being a troll, and work on your listening comprehension, because maybe, just maybe, you will listen and learn something from the basketball sickos and the basketball mind, clown. Piece of garbage, dude.
You
screw Evan. That's all. No, you know what, Evan, I hope your Thanksgiving sucks.
No.
I hope the turkey's burnt.
No, Evan.
I hope the pumpkin pie is dry. I hope you have instant mashed potatoes.
Conversations are nice. So just like, you know, you're being kind of mean in there, even about people, like, or about players is my point. And it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of weird and irrational. That's all. I hope your Thanksgiving goes well. Yeah. But if your turkey is burnt, you deserved it. You kind of had it coming.
Okay.
Can't be a dick.
Speaking of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. You guys mean a ton to us, and we appreciate that you guys have been rocking with us not only for so many years, whether you've been here with for years or if you're new to us, we appreciate you guys being here, win or loss. And I know the season can be grueling sometimes. It's long. You guys provide us a lot of energy, and it's fun to come in here, even read someone like Evan who doesn't really listen well. But also all the people who are like active participants, people who come up to us at games. I am thankful that I get to work in my hometown market for the team I grew up rooting for and cover this team and do a podcast about them. Like, what? Like,
it's pretty cool.
I'm living a dream, and I appreciate you guys so much.
And that's it. I mean, we truly wouldn't be here with all of you without all of you supporting us throughout the way, just being here. I mean, sure, that's support, but for us, it's also just so much fun. So thank you for providing that fun as we reflect on Thanksgiving almost every year.
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for health. I am thankful for this career path that I have taken that has had a shit ton of bumps throughout my early years and awfulness, and it's led to a lot of fun and great things. And I'm just like, when you get to see that light, it's really cool. I'm really thankful.
Anything else?
Sweet Bojack, sweet Carlin.
And?
My family.
And last but not least, Deuce. Wow.
Thankful for you, Deuce.
About time. You should lead with me. In all seriousness, I'm thankful for a lot, dude. I am so thankful for many things. One, my mental health. I was just thinking about the last year. I started therapy like last October, and I used this example in our members only chat last night that we did.
Yeah.
You know, after my grandma died, it was like earth-shattering. There's a lot. And I noticed like the first year I just wasn't myself. There's a lot of mental things going on. And I found a therapist, and going there twice a month has helped me so much. And like my issues, I like to use this example. It's like a massive boulder, mm-hmm. Okay? There's a lot of stuff. And it's like going to the gym, right? You're not going to just get ripped by going to the gym. You have to change things. You have to build good habits. And going to therapy has helped me and just kind of chisel away. chisel away at that boulder. It's still very big, and there's some deep issues I don't even know about, but it's helped me so much. So I'm thankful that in the last year, that's helped a lot.
That you've worked on your mental health.
Yeah, and then I'm also thankful for the fact that Carlin, who last December, I just will never forget, like, rushing him to the vet in tears, thinking he was, like, going to die, has emergency surgery, and here we are almost a year later. This dog is so happy. He's not on pain meds. His back legs, one of them kind of works sometimes. It hasn't fazed him. He is the same personality, the same joy and love, and I can't wait for him to kiss me when I get home. Lastly, thankful that I feel like my career is finally, like, turning a corner. It feels like I'm making the progress that I want. Still have a lot of goals that I want to reach. But I've been in this game like 20 years because I started when I was 16.
Yeah.
And it's been a grind. And you talk about the bumps. Yeah, it's like just evolving. And I'm like, all right. So anyway, there's a lot to be thankful for. But those were the three main things for me. And also all you guys for supporting us. It means a lot for you guys to be here. So, I'm thankful that the Kings clapped that ass tonight.
Oh, there we go.
Can you believe those fans in Minnesota? They're going to the game tonight. Like, oh, we got the Kings tonight. We're bouncing back. These clowns, we beat them twice this year in their house. They're not coming here and winning. Think about it. They leave their house. It's 20 degrees as they drive to the Target Center. Mm-hmm. They get out. It's freezing, shivering. In the third quarter, they're laughing. They're laughing with Julius Randle. They're going, Jay Crowder's playing for these guys. They suck. And then at the end, kids were bawling.
Mm-hmm.
I see couples fighting.
Yep.
I see families just in disarray as they leave the Target Center with frostbite.
Yeah,
it's freezing outside.
Absolutely.
Their team's a mess. The team that made it to the conference finals, they are 8-10. Their Thanksgiving is absolutely ruined.
Again, okay,
and all it
Grinch.
Does is make my Thanksgiving
I hope
better.
Minnesota fans are okay because we get you. We understand so many of those downs and when everything just does not feel right. So
I do. And you know what? This, in all seriousness, because I know a lot of fans go back and listen. I see the comments, OKC fans, Golden State fans, Wolves fans. They've got talent and they've got some things to figure out.
Yes.
And just hang tough. Like, I think one thing you hang on to in all seriousness is, like, the Cat Gobert thing got off to a really rough start.
Yep.
It did finally turn around. It took time. Maybe they can turn it around, or you just have to adjust on the fly.
From one struggling team to another, we see.
Yes.
But we are really glad that the Kings got the dub.
And if you want to merge with the Kings, we can do that.
Merge.
We could be one the Sacramento team. Wolves, but we have to play in Sacramento.
Yep.
Anthony Edwards is on the team.
Yep.
Gobert,
you
can go off the bench or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, their fans have been through a lot too. So,
yeah.
Any other final thoughts from you, Morgan?
I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and that we all get to go into it being very happy.
Yes. How do you feel about the pod tonight? Because you criticized me a few times, so I just wondering.
Oh, we're having our breakdown now.
Yeah.
I felt good. I thought your energy left you a little bit at one point. Oh, you just asked. You just asked. You just asked. You just asked. That's not an insult. I was like, oh, is his energy going a different way? And so, but I liked everything that we talked about. It was like a fun game, a lot of fun things to break down.
I'd say B minus tonight. B minus.
How come?
Just felt a little chaotic. I don't know if our breakdowns were deep enough at times.
Ooh.
But maybe they were, and I'll listen back and think it's awesome.
Like, you wanted more examples of possessions.
Yeah, you know me, but it's all good.
But sometimes too, when you're flying high off of a W, it's like when you just look at the whole picture, it's also fun. We grade ourselves after every single podcast. It's the only way that you're ever going to get better.
Yeah, exactly. All right. For real though, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate you guys so much. Hopefully you enjoy it, whether you got family or not. Well, trust me, I've got family issues galore. I know that, but hopefully you can sit back and enjoy the day in some way. We're going to be back live again Friday night after Kings Blazers. We'll also be live on TV that night on pre and post game. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.